This joint right here, it makes me wanna.
All right, hi there, Dreamcastle Nation. This is Ayana with Living the Dream with Dreamcastle Vacation, the podcast. And as you know, I like to open up with a little Mary, get us in a good mood and shake off all the vibes from the week. Today is Sunday, August the 11th, and we have a special guest here today. I'll let her tell you guys her name in a moment, but we're going to talk about some of her latest excursions and travels. One of my favorite people. So we'll let Mary just play, let a few more people join us on our podcast. This is our second episode, the first episode after the welcome. And again, you're on with Living the Dream with Dreamcastle Vacation. So that's Mary, and we're going to let Mary play in the background. But today, like I said, we have a very, very special guest in-house. Can you tell the listeners your name now? Who do we have welcoming to the table?
Anaya.
This is Anaya. Anaya Johnson, you guys, this is one of my favorite people. This is my daughter, and she is Dreamcastle family. She has recently gone and traveled to a few places. Today we're going to focus on Senegal. She was there in Dakar, was it? All right. So tell, where are you from originally, Anaya? Tell the people where you're from.
I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up in Detroit.
She grew up in Detroit. Been here since she was five, but that's our Georgia peach. And she's now 21, you guys. 21 years old, my baby. Okay, so let's see. Like I said, you recently traveled to Senegal, to Dakar, Senegal. Tell us what took you to Senegal tonight.
It was a school study abroad trip that I got selected for and was there doing two classes and a research project.
Research project. What was your research project doing?
My main research project was on dance in Senegal and learning about my, going in, I thought the project was going to be about Black dance and Black context and how that, what the purpose was and what how people defined it.
Okay, you said going in, so did that change somewhere along the way?
It did change a bit, learning how dance is incorporated into life in Senegal, maybe shift the focus a little bit. Or I guess less of the focus, but more so just of understanding what dance in Senegal meant.
So basically, as you did your research and studied, opened up your spectrum on what dance meant to Senegal.
Yes.
All right. And so what did you find that was different in your research?
Dance is a part of like every part of life in Senegal. And it cannot be disconnected from the music or from song, as someone put it. He was like, it all kind of combines itself together.
So, in other words, they love dancing. They love music. They feel life is just full of music and dance and livelihood, if you would, or having fun, I guess. It's more than fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, like there's just parts of different ceremonies that go about life.
Okay, so how long were you there? How long were you?
For 6 weeks.
And did you go alone?
No, I was there for school. So there was a cohort of us. Most people were from my school, but we had two people who were from two different schools.
What school do you attend again?
I go to Washington University in St. Louis.
Okay, Washington University in St. Louis. And what were the other schools that were participating with you guys?
We had two girls from two different HBCUs. One went to Spelman.
I was going to say, don't be afraid to say it. Spelman. Okay.
And another one went to Harris State.
Oh, Harris, though?
Harris, though. Sorry. Oh, okay. Harris, though, State University.
Okay. All right. And so there were, what, about 10, 11 of you guys?
I think there were about 12 of us.
Okay. Okay. And you had guides there with you in Senegal?
Yes, two professors from WashU went with us.
Well, give them a shout out. Say their names.
Dean and Professor Jallo came with us, and they brought their family in, let us, because Professor Jallo is from Senegal.
Okay.
And so we also spent time with his family.
So that had to be a wonderful experience to have someone who knew Senegal, not just visit, but they grew up there. They knew, you know, they had family there, and they knew exactly the things that you guys should see.
Yeah. Okay. And then Dean Jallo also did her grad work in Senegal.
Okay.
So she knew certain areas where, and he knew other areas. So it was very beneficial to us as students, and especially with our research, to know like where we should go for our individual projects.
Okay. Okay.
And we also had another guide as well.
So from your experience, what were some of those things? What were some of those places that you went that our listeners would love to explore in Senegal or in Dakar if they were to visit?
I would say especially in Dakar, you see it from like everywhere, so it only makes sense to go. But the African Renaissance Monument, which was dedicated because of Senegal's freedom from France. It's the tallest statue in Africa.
Okay, okay. So maybe when I put this episode out, there's a way if maybe we can shoot some pictures out as well and show them some of the lovely pictures that you have from your trip that your mother's still waiting to see. Okay. So what? So again, just fill us in on some of the other places. That was one. So you have to see.
I would say also something that was really particularly special for me was going to the Door of No Return on Goree Island. Goree Island itself is just beautiful, and I think that was what was so special to me, was just seeing how something so beautiful could have such a tragic past.
So enlighten the people, the listeners, on Goree Island and the Door of No Return, for those who just may not really know what that is. Door of No Return from where?
So from slavery, when people were being sold, once you go throughout that door, there was no returning. That was you on your way to the Americas or the Caribbean or wherever else they were taking the people from Senegal. And Goree has a contested history because of its location, but it was particularly what most people in my cohort agreed to, was that the numbers of who left Goree isn't as crucial, because it obviously still played a part, because it was a part of the beginning of the slave trade. Where people had been on the island living together, and the way of life was just different. And then it took a turn where trade was always important to Goree, but then it was started to be a trade of people. And that took a colossal shift in Goree in history.
Okay. So when you say the numbers weren't as important because obviously people left, so what you're saying is basically the people who left that were traded away just changed the whole dynamic of the island, because...
That too. But the historians still argue to this day about how important is Goree, especially since people have gone to visit, because it was not that many people left from there compared to other places where they took them from.
But that was the beginning.
Yeah.
And so it changed the dynamics of things.
And it allowed for people to have a way in to the continent. Because Goree is the island right off of the coast that is closest to Senegal.
Meaning people trying to trade to buy slaves.
It had already been a set up post for trade. Like, it was what that was for. So the fact that once the trade, the slave trade became
a big thing.
Yeah. It was obvious that they would use that space also.
Oh, wow. And so as you started to talk about it, a certain feeling came over me. And I'm sure there are other people who are questioning whether or not that's something they would want to see or they could handle it. But you said it was a beautiful thing, even though, how would you describe that?
I would say it is a museum in part. Mm-hmm. The house that we were in, the slave house that we were in, and learning the history of the Pepins who owned that house was interesting. But before we did that, we just took time on the island, mm-hmm. and I went and up on to see like the, I have a thing for cannons. So there were some really mm-hmm. cool cannons out. Mm-hmm. And it was also, you could just see a beautiful view from the top of one side of the island. And then we sat and we had lunch and then we went to the museum. And before you go throughout the museum, there's a presentation that is remarkable. I would say if you don't speak French, you will need a translator. Mm-hmm. But hearing how he presents the house and the door of no return and the rooms that are within the house was kind of like, because I was, I guess, uneasy about being in the space when I first went in, and I didn't think that I was going to want to stay there long. But hearing the his presentation was beautiful. He's only the second person to ever be able to give the presentation, because it is something that you hold for like a lifetime. And it got passed down to him.
So he's been there for many, many years, and the person before him, many, many years?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we actually got to meet and talk to him, so that was also really cool. Okay. He's a really nice guy. You just walk in his office.
Okay.
And you can sign the book there also.
Okay. Okay.
And writing my own note in that book where Obama and...
President Obama.
Yes, sorry, okay. President Obama. And many others have been, and you can see their notes, and just knowing that it is a part of history and that it's almost being like a something that's being taken back by its people.
Okay.
And going to the door and return, actually seeing the site from that door. Everyone has their own personal connection to it. I know mm-hmm. like different people in my group shared a bit about how it made them feel. But for me, it was just, I felt a lot of hope in seeing the beauty of it and knowing that all pasts aren't pretty, but mm-hmm. that what is always going to be. And so like what God graces is going to have its moment to truly shine.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you can elaborate on that later, or if you want to elaborate now, but so what are some other places that you guys visited that people would just be excited to experience in Dakar or Senegal? Because I know you guys traveled around quite a bit.
Yes, Angkor Island was really beautiful. That's the one that, if anyone's seen the pictures where people are on big black rocks.
Okay, I've seen one with Alicia Keys.
Yeah, Alicia Keys
did
was there
a song
like
there.
Before
yeah,
we were there.
Right before you guys, yeah.
And it's just a really cool place. The water, like some of the water is like really rocky, but then there's some parts that are just nice to kind of wade in. And
so what's the significance of this place? It's just a beach, a beautiful beach? Or is there some, did something take place there? Or is there, it's just
a great question. I know there are some people, like Akon's family lives there.
Okay.
There's like two sides of the island. It didn't like have the same significance as Gorée.
Okay.
But there is known for its beautiful beaches. So a lot of people go there for like a day or two.
Okay. Where else did you lovely people visit?
We went to Saint Louis was really, really nice. We got to stay there for like a whole weekend. So
what is where and what is Saint Louis?
Saint Louis is basically the St. Louis of Senegal.
Okay.
So our school being in St. Louis, we took a lot of jokes with that. But it is a place of literary greats. We got to sit and meet with Louis Camara while we were there.
And who was that?
I studied him when I was younger in school. He's a writer from Saint Louis,
mm-hmm.
And he actually walked us through the history of literary works and authors and some poets also
from
Senegal,
okay.
And the shift within what Senegal's place in African literature,
okay.
Also did.
Okay, all right, that sounds great.
And at night in Saint Louis, people mm-hmm. just get like, well, people all over Senegal, just in general, are very dressed up,
mm-hmm.
And it's really cool to see. But at night, we were out just sitting across from our hotel by the water one night, and you just saw like it was like a ongoing runway show,
okay,
of people just going into town and walking back and forth, and just everybody from kids like five to people probably in the 80s. But
so don't go to play when you go to Senegal.
Oh, no.
They take great pride in their appearance, and they will. So what do you see? Like a lot of African fabric and print, or just what's the wear? Do they dress Western, or do you know what's the attire?
So there's generational differences,
mm-hmm.
but I think also you can see anyone wearing traditional wear, quote unquote traditional, but then also modern wear, and there's a mix of it, and it's like people walking in the same groups will both have on everything. And there's also a new thing for the younger generation of mixing the two.
Okay.
Where you can have jeans on, but you could have like a boo-boo top. And people with the head wraps
mm-hmm.
are glamorous. But it is, yeah, it's not a joke. The fashion is on par.
Okay. Okay. And so what, tell the people, let's take a slight turn. We may come back to some of the history, but tell the people some of the, I know you guys attended some concerts, you met some artists, some things like that. You did some art work. So tell the people about the artistic side of Senegal. I know you mentioned literary.
Yeah.
But
I would say the art was my favorite part. Not just because that's what I was studying, but I think that it truly shows a culture. But we went to a Kumba Gallo concert. Kumba Gallo is really big.
Is that an artist?
She's a singer.
Okay.
And so she's a griot by nature or by family. And the griots are the people who do sing and carry on history.
Okay.
And so her concert was really beautiful, and her mother was there, and she dedicated a song to her mother that was really nice. And then at the end, throughout the concert, there were certain parts where she was doing tributes to certain ethnic groups within Senegal. And so she would allow people to come on stage and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there was one particular like section where the Serer people came on. And so there's different people coming on stage and dancing, and that was really cool to see. But then all of her, like her background dancers and singers, each had their own moment of
mm-hmm.
Relating to who they, whichever ethnic group they came from.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then also at the very end of the concert, I saw someone go on stage. And so then I was like, oh, I want to go on stage. And so my dean said that I could. And I was like, great, awesome. And so I asked a friend if she wanted to go on stage, and we did. And they taught us some dances, and we were on stage dancing. And they like, she kept singing and talking to people, and they kept playing, and so it was a really nice experience.
Okay. So did you guys at any time experience any nightlife while you were there?
Yes.
So tell the people about the nightlife.
I went to I found out it was actually a festival for a few days, but I was there
mm-hmm.
only for one night, because it was the night before we went to Saint-Louis. But it was hip-hop and underground and rap concert, basically. And they had spoken word artists, and they had up-and-coming rappers there, and we actually got to go backstage, meet my friends.
Were they rapping and speaking spoken word in English, French, or another language?
Yes. So most people there speak Wolof and French.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everyone speaks French, but there's a big Wolof would probably be the next biggest, which is what we were learning in class. But so most artists who were from Senegal were speaking in those two languages. There was one guy who was from Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And he came on stage and was like, who speaks English? And so like all nine of us screamed. And that's actually how we ended up backstage, because we were talking to him once he came off stage about his fashion and about how he ended up here, because we're like, obviously you're not from Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
And so he spoke Dutch and English. And so that was really cool. And then we got backstage, there was a lot of interviews going on. And since that was what our project was about, art and expression and dance, we started trying to find our way around, just trying to see who we could talk to. And we met even more rappers who then later on we would go to a studio to interview people and go to a music video shoot, just from the connections we made from that one night. So that was really great.
Okay, sounds like you guys had a really great experience. So we've talked about some of the
cultural important things. We've talked about the artistic side of Senegal to a degree, a bit about education, about fashion, and some of the nightlife. Oh, let's talk about the food. We have, we're in the last third of our interview here, but let's talk about the food and drinks in Senegal.
I would say if you have, I'm a pescatarian, and so Senegal has been one of my favorite places just because I was able to eat at every meal with no worry.
And that's because
they are very big on fish.
On seafood
and on vegetables and rice, which are things that I love. But I think also the food was just remarkable anyways.
And flavorful. And
yes, and they have a special way. Like, you don't have to add anything. Okay. It's just good when it comes out.
So give us an example of one of the meals that would be flavorful, some of the things that we may eat that we may enjoy in Senegal. Or one of the popular Senegalese meals.
So the national dish of Senegal is called chebujin. Cheb is rice and jin is fish. So chebujin is just fish and rice, basically. But it's so flavorful. Like, everyone makes it a little different. Mm-hmm. And depending on how they serve, like, if you go to a restaurant, obviously you get your own plate. But what is also very popular in Senegal, very cultural in Senegal, is that you eat when you go to someone's house out of one big bowl and mm-hmm. you eat the portion in front of you. And it's just always so good.
Is it savory? Is it spicy? Is it sweet? Or is it all those things?
So you can...
How would you describe it?
I would say you can... It comes out... Not that it doesn't come out bland. It comes out very... I don't want to say basic. It comes out in a, let's say, a standard version. And then it comes out also with like something to spice it up, something to make it sweeter. A lot of people put...
based on your preference.
Right.
Okay.
People put lemon or lime on top, which I would say add in the... There's some people put the spice inside of the fish.
Okay.
Like, we had a cook for when we were at our residence for school. And then when we traveled, obviously it was a little bit different.
So if people like steak or pork or
Well, it's a Muslim country.
So you're not going to get a lot of pork there.
There are Christians. Okay. Like in certain areas, like where President Senghor was born, if you go by that museum in that island, they have pigs there running around. Not just in general, like they're in barns, but that people will cook there. But most places are respected to the Muslim culture, so there won't be like the red meat.
No red meat either.
Well, I'm sorry,
the pork. No pork, for sure. But if someone was looking for, not that I am, but if someone was looking for a steak, they could find burgers or steak there.
Yeah, restaurants, they have all of these things.
Okay.
So if you wanted that, then you could get it.
One of the things, thank you for that. One of the things that we didn't touch on drinks. So you touched on the national dish. If you could really quickly just touch on, Naya turned 21 while she was there, you guys. So if you could touch on signature Senegalese drink?
So I will say, also note to anyone, when you ask for drinks in Senegal, they will not think you're talking about alcohol. They will think you are talking about
soda or pop.
Yes. because it is a Muslim country, they don't drink. You can't drink in public or at all. Also, it's like only certain places will serve alcohol. There's not a signature drink, but if you know what you want and like, then you could probably find it there. I will say things that probably have to be imported will cost more.
So there's like in Ghana, there's like ginger-based drinks a lot. So
ginger is big there. This thing called bui is there, and it's from a certain tree. And then, what's my favorite? Oh, my favorite is bisap. Bisap is really, really good. They use it, the bisap from many of the trees. It's like you can make it into a tea. You can make it into like iced tea or like lemonade. People use it for a lot of different things. And so it has a lot of different components. They have like basically... One of my friends wanted to bring some back, and they, a family friend who I went to go see, his wife showed her all the things that you can get from bisap, like jam, tea, just the leaves, using it for this and that. And so it's very, it's great.
Okay. So when, and we're in our last 5 minutes here, and before we wrap up, I definitely want you, you talked about how fashion is important, but what we didn't touch on is I know that you were able to have some clothes made and some things. You brought me some nice gifts back, and some other people ordered clothing there. So talk about the tailors and the designers and things like that you came in contact with real briefly.
So two of my professor's brothers are actually tailors. And so they
give them a shout out if you remember their names.
I do. It's Njit Fashion. That's Njit. You can also look that up. He has his website out. His name is Popsy, sorry. And so he made all the clothes that I had made. And I basically just show him a design and he would draw it up and he's like, is this what you want? And then I went back about a week later and then tried it on and fixed it and it was great.
Okay, that's great. So what we're going to do, I just thought of this, you guys, as usual, if you have any questions, you can call me at 866-954-2646. The best way to ask questions would be to email me at dreamcastlevacation@yahoo.com. But what we'll try to do is post, if Anaya will allow us, post some of the pictures and the fashion and the food that she experienced there on my Dream Castle page at Facebook. So that would be www.facebook.com/adreamcastlevacation. Or you can find Anaya. She's got an Instagram page, if you could give them your handle, where you take your photos.
It's angelpics_angelpics_.
And I'm sure you can find a lot of her photographic chronicles from her travel experiences. But before we go, in our last 3 minutes, talk about the funding, the spending, the money, the difference in the exchange rates there or whatever, and anything else that you want to share, the do's and don'ts of Senegal, if there are any, in the last 2 minutes of our podcast here.
I'll also be doing a recap video that I'll be putting up on YouTube, so I can send you that link.
Okay.
But do's and don'ts, remember, like, it is a Muslim country, so being respectful of the culture is really important. We were told to wear clothes, girls especially, things that went below our knee, and not, like, spaghetti straps, but, like, at least a two-finger rule. But I would say also, especially don't drink in public. It might not be the friendliest place for people of the LGBTQIA spectrum, just because that's not observed there.
Just if you, spending, yeah. How was that?
So the exchange rate is that for every US dollar, it is about 560 francs. And I would say we had a personal guy, so we didn't exchange like at the airport or anything.
Okay.
But they do have banks. Most cards are accepted, but you should check beforehand.
Okay. Okay. So what I've found is that we probably will have a part two to this interview sometime later. But I'd like to take this last couple of seconds to thank Anaya for joining us on Living the Dream, the Senegal edition. And give her a little clap. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'd like to again thank you guys for listening. And know that we're going to do this regularly. We'll feature different cities and countries. And if you have any questions for Anaya, you can email them to me again at dreamcastlevacation@yahoo.com or find me on Facebook, A Dream Castle Vacation. And I'll get those questions over to her. And again, we'll try to get pictures up of the things we've discussed. And we just thank you for being with us at Living the Dream with Dream Castle Vacation. And we'll say Dream Castle out. Thank you so much. Have a great, great week, everyone.